Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Church Online. I'm so excited that you're here with us again, and we've got some friends here with us so that I'm not alone talking to a camera, and I love it. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Everyone good? Happy to be here?
Yes.
Happy to be with some people for church. It just feels better when you're with some people. So I hope wherever you are, you have some people around you that you love, that encourage you. And man, I'm still encouraged from the six-year celebration last week. I mean, the carpool karaoke songs are stuck in my head, and several people have told me they may never listen to Taylor Swift again because they can't get that image out of their mind. But I'll be honest, just having some fun and singing and laughing, I mean, it felt good just to laugh, especially in this season. It's been like an emotional roller coaster. I mean, the emotions are up and down and constant. I don't know how you guys are feeling or where you are right now in the roller coaster. Maybe you're on a high, like, wow, everything's good. And you don't know, next week you could be down low again. I mean, it's a crazy season, emotions all over the place. And there's been so many different stages of corona, so many different stages of this quarantine time or this pandemic. So wherever you are in the chat, let us know what stages you have been through. I'm about to share some stages of 2020 or stages of the pandemic. How about this? The I'm watching Christmas movies stage. Anyone watching Christmas movies yet? You guys? I mean, it's just early October. Pastor Kerry has told me we're putting our Christmas tree up next week. Why? Why not? Right? There's no rules in 2020. Christmas is going up. How about the I'm cleaning my garage or gudang stage? Anyone here been cleaning out things? And it's been on our list for weeks. We haven't technically done all of it, but I mean, a lot of cleaning. How about the going into your closet and telling your clothes how much you miss them? Right? Because there's nowhere to wear it. Some of your favorite shirts or dresses or things like, wow, I haven't been able to wear that for 7 months. Because I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I just have to wear one shirt a week, actually, just to be here with you guys. I wear a shirt every day, don't misunderstand, but the gourmet home cooking stage, I mean, there's gourmet home cooking going on, people cooking at home, all of these different stages. How about the no browse for days stage? Anyone been in that stage? Like, well, not going anywhere this week. Why draw the brows on? Like, no brows for days. No long pants for days stage. Anyone? No one wants to confess to that one. How about the looking for a snack right after you ate stage? That's one of the stages of the pandemic. Like, I just ate and I'm in the cabinet looking for some snacks. Like, why aren't there some snacks? You just ate. But it's like all these stages, the renovating the house stage. So many people, that's where we are right now. Renovations in our house. Renovations have been going on for like a month. You know, you start to notice that spot on the wall. After 7 months, it's driving you crazy and you need to paint that wall. And then you notice something else. I need the garden fixed or I need this fixed and all of these things. This was after we went through the stage of we're moving. I mean, we looked for another house. You guys know, we looked for a new house for a while. Why? Because our Wi-Fi was weak. I mean, that's what's crazy about 2020. Who has ever looked for a new house because your Wi-Fi was so bad? Me? In 2020? Man, Wi-Fi is horrible. Let's move. And we looked for weeks. We had friends helping us look for a house. Then we decided we found a new Wi-Fi carrier. So we're like, okay, now we don't have to move. Now let's just fix this house. So we're in the renovating stage. Then the moving furniture around just to see what it looks like stage. You know, all these different stages you may be in. The risky haircut stage. You look around here, nothing risky going on. Some of you have hats on. But you know, you get to that stage, I've gone shorter. I've done something risky in 2020. I've been letting this grow 1 inch lower on each side. So taking a chance, going crazy with the hair. How about the I need a nap an hour after I woke up stage? Anyone been there? You wake up in the morning, you're like, man, I'm tired. Take a nap. The I watch Netflix stage, like you watched all of it. There's nothing else on Netflix you're interested in. I've been there. The I actually watched everyone's Instagram story stage. Anyone have that day? When you actually got to the end, you're like, oh my gosh. I watched everyone's Instagram story, all of it. It's, I mean, the whole thing. How about the playing what celebrity lookalike you have on the Facebook games thing? Like, my lookalike is Beyonce. I just think you guys should know. My celebrity twin is Beyonce. I was guessing that anyway, but then when I put my picture in, I was like, well, just what I thought. Beyonce. Then for the singles out there, maybe you had the stage during 2020 of the my ex has come back into my life stage. Quickly followed by my ex is back out of my life stage. For married people, the way he chews annoys me stage. I'm not looking around at any of us that are married in here. The coffee mug he chose this morning is annoying me stage. How about the his breathing annoys me stage? Because if you're married, you're just at home and like, why are you breathing like that? I'm trying to live. I just want to live. It's crazy. 2020 is unlike anything we've ever experienced. Man, it's a crazy season and all of these different emotions and ups and downs and ups and downs, and we're trying to make it and trying to be our best. And I was studying, I guess the last couple of weeks, some real serious stages that I believe we've gone through. And I want to share these with you this week because I think these are stages, everyone here has been through these, whether you knew it or not, and people watching at home, you may be in one of these stages now. You may be stuck in one of these stages. So it's important that we look at the stages of this season, the stages of 2020. And the reason I want to share these is so that you know that you are not crazy. I mean, tell someone you're not crazy. Tell someone around you, you're not crazy. You're not alone. You know, we need to know this. We need to see these things because if we know and we understand what we're going through, it will help us to find freedom. Because there are natural seasons, natural stages or phases of a season like this. And actually, these are the five stages of grief and loss. So if you want to know where I got these are the five stages of grief and loss. But we're experiencing these in this season because for a lot of us, there's parts of our life that feels like they've died. There's parts of our life that we've lost. You know, the going out. Some of you guys here, just not being able to go meet with friends and have coffee like you used to. You're grieving that and you don't understand what's going on inside of me. It is a grieving process. I can't go and do this. I'm not seeing people. We're not sitting in church together. That's a loss. It's a grieving process. It could be small things like I can't go to the movie theater. I can't go to the restaurant. I like all these things. And it causes these different emotions that we're feeling. So here's the five stages of 2020. The first one is denial and isolation. And when I think about this, I think about when we first came into this season. When we first got into 2020 and in March when everything hit and everything started going crazy and most of us kind of went home excited a little bit. Yeah. Oh, this is new. Anyone here? Like you just, we're not panicked yet. We're not grieving. There's no loss at the time. It's just, wow, this is new. I mean, oh, it's going to be over in 14 or 15 days. No big deal. Let's go home. We're watching Netflix. We're relaxed. Everyone's posting selfies. Everyone's smiling. We saw everyone's pajamas. I mean, everyone's posting pictures in their PJs. People are sending snacks to each other. It was like, it was not really denial, I guess, but we just didn't know what was coming. Yeah. Denial and isolation. We were isolated, but at first it wasn't that big of a deal. But that stage of 2020 faded pretty fast. Then it was the anger stage. How many of you have been angry in this season? How many of you have been angry and you didn't even know what you were angry about? I mean, seriously, I have woken up some mornings, I'm angry. I'm not angry at Pastor Carrie. I'm not angry at my kids. I'm just angry. I don't know what I'm angry at. It's part of this season. And when you're angry, you need someone to blame.
Yeah.
When you're angry, the way to get it out, you want to blame someone. Whose fault is this? I don't feel good. My house is in chaos. My kids aren't happy. I'm not happy. Whose fault is it? I mean, how many of us have asked, why do I feel like this? Whose fault is it? Add to it that you're tired of working on a screen. Your kids are tired of doing school on a screen. We're tired of doing church on a screen. You feel like I can't worship. I can't pray. Whose fault is it? Who am I angry at? I mean, you want someone to blame in this time, and it's not satisfying to blame an invisible virus, right? I mean, that's the one of the weaknesses we have, that the one to blame feels like it's an invisible enemy. I can't see Corona, but I'm angry at what it's done to me. I'm not even sick, but I'm angry at what I'm seeing and what's going on. And so you get angry at the people in your house. You get angry at your husband. You get angry at your wife. You get angry at your kids. Your kids are angry at you. You're getting angry at people that you love and they love you, and you don't even know why you're angry at them. Some of you have been angry at God. Anyone here? I mean, it's not something to be ashamed of. At times, why God? Why is this happening to me? Some of you have been angry at me. Anyone here? No, I'm just kidding. Some people have been angry at me, blaming me. It must be the church's fault that everything's going wrong at my house. It must be Pastor Chris's fault. He's not telling me something.
True.
So you're blaming people. Hey, I forgive you. If it's anyone here, I forgive you guys. We're family. I understand what's going on. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm not angry at you, even if you've been angry at me. I forgive you. But you move from this stage when you realize, wait a minute, I am responsible for my relationship with God. I'm the one responsible. If I'm close to God or not, it has to do everything with me. No one can get me close to God. I'm responsible for the relationship with my children. I'm responsible for my marriage. I mean, is that a shock to anyone? Wow, my marriage is falling apart. It must be someone else's fault. No, we're responsible for the things in our life. We're responsible. And I have news for you, even for you guys here, as much as I want to, I can't feed you. I can't feed anyone. Every week I stand here and I offer food, but some of you are like, you ever seen the kid where the mom's trying to feed it? I'm not wanting to eat. And then later you're angry, I'm so hungry. Why is no one feeding me? Well, the food was there, you didn't open your mouth. So what I'm telling you today is, receive God's word today. Receive the food that's being offered. Receive it, because God is going to give you everything you need today. And you know, I'm kind of joking about this. No one's mad. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm just talking about the season. It's okay. I mean, if you felt angry, it's okay. It's part of the season. It's part of the ups and downs. It's part of the stages. We have to recognize it so we can get through it. The third stage is bargaining. We start trying to make a deal with God. God, if you will end this, I will serve you for the rest of my entire life. How many of you have prayed that? God, if you will make this virus go away, I will join the ministry. I'll join the dream team. I'll be a pastor, like whatever. I'll do anything. We tried to bargain, or then thinking like, well, what if this had happened? What could have stopped it? Whose fault? We start blaming other countries or other leaders or other whatever. We just start blaming. It's from here. It's here. It's here. It's their fault. It's this fault. It's his fault. And why is this going on? Then we start having guilt. Maybe I should have planned better. Why didn't I put more in savings? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? All of that is useless. I mean, don't put yourself through that torture. It's part of the emotions. You're bargaining, trying to figure out what. Why? Why? I don't understand it. You know, I was in denial a little bit. Then I was angry. Now I'm just like, why is this? What can I do to make it stop? The fourth one, and this is the one I worry about the most, is depression. Maybe some of you are in that right now, in the depression stage of 2020, the depression stage of this grief and loss. And you feel so alone, so isolated, tired all the time. I mean, if any of you been there during the season, you sleep, but you wake up and you're not rested. and you're just tired all the time. You can't, you have no motivation. You're just depressed, just not, you feel alone, you feel isolated, you feel disconnected, but you have no will to connect. You don't feel like you have the energy to reach out to someone. It's why being connected right now is so very important. That's why we have life groups going on right now. I know you guys are all in life groups. Man, it's super important because we need each other now more than ever. I mean, it's how we can stay connected. It's vital. It's life or death. It's literally life or death right now. We need each other. We need to be connected. We desperately need it. We desperately need each other. And people in the life groups are finding freedom from depression. I hear the stories. People in this season right now, in that stage of depression, they get in a life group. Suddenly, just from being connected with their brothers and sisters, they're lifted up, find some energy again. And we need that. Don't try to go through this season alone. You need each other. Stay connected. You weren't made to go through it alone. Then the last stage is acceptance. Finally, we get to that point where we recognize, okay, it is what it is, you know? But we don't like to say that, but it is what it is. I can't control viruses. I can't control any of this. I'm not in control. And when we get to that point and we just recognize, you know what? I just accept that this is the season that I'm in, and God has placed me here for a reason, for such a time as this. I mean, especially as the church, we can't question, for whatever reason, God has allowed us to be in this moment at this time, and we decide, I'm going to own this. Instead of being controlled by the season, we own this season. We decide, you know what? I'm going to be my best in the middle of this season. Because when you're not in control, you're being controlled. If you just give up control, it's controlling you. If you don't wake up and own the season, this season will own you. There's a lot of people. This season has owned them. Corona, pandemic, Deuteronomy, it has just owned them, and they're just being moved around with wherever the wave is going. You've got to wake up right now and take control and own it and say, God, you know where I am. You haven't lost me. Right in the middle of this, you're still with me. And when you get to that point, you can start feeling like some fresh air has been breathed back into your lungs. I remember feeling that a few months ago, because I've gone through the roller coaster too, and a few months ago, just something hit, and I realized I'm going to quit just hoping this ends soon. I'm going to quit just looking at one day this is over. I can't wait till we go back to this. I can't wait till this again. I'm going to live right now, and I'm going to be my best right now. I'm going to make some changes and some adjustments. I'm going to ask God to speak to me now. And of course, we pray and hope it ends, but own this season that we're in right now. God isn't surprised by 2020. Have any of you ever thought, man, how come God didn't see this coming? He knew this was coming. God wasn't surprised by the pandemic, and he's not going to fail us in the middle of it. He's not going to let us go. Last week, we looked at Joshua when God led them to cross over the Jordan River. He miraculously split the waters on both sides, and the people crossed over on dry land. It was an amazing thing. God had told Joshua to choose 12 men to gather stones. And he told them, take the stones across on your shoulder. So these 12 men went out with the priests. The priests were carrying the ark of the Lord. And when they went into the waters parted. These 12 men gathered stones from the middle of the river. That's what I love, that it was from the middle of it. Right there in the middle of the waters raging on each side. Right in the middle of it. He said, gather these stones. Gather the stones and take them over. He told them, they will serve as a sign. The stones will serve as a sign. You're going to gather them. Your children will ask one day, what do these stones mean? What are these stones? The next generation will ask. Other people are going to ask, what do these stones mean? And then you're going to tell them what I've done for you. That's what God was telling them. Gather stones now and take them to the other side as a sign. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, it says, so the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, when they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. So Joshua took the stones that were gathered from the middle of the river, and he stacked them once they crossed over to the other side. They stacked these 12 stones right there. Those stones would encourage them for generations, remembering when God rescued them, remembering when God didn't leave them in the middle of their troubles, but brought them over. I really just imagine God was giving them this sign that your God is a miracle-working God. Your God is not a God that will leave you. Your God is not a God that is going to fail you. And he was telling them, hey, you may want to gather a stone because you're going to want to remember this. Imagine God saying, grab a kanungan. Grab something to remember this moment because I'm about to do something so amazing in your life. Take something with you so you can see it later. Take something with you so you can tell your kids about it, so you can tell the next generation, so you can tell your family. When we gather stones so we don't forget what God has done for us in the past, it does something inside of us. We gather these stones and we stack them. It reminds us, because sometimes the best way to make it through today is to remember how God brought you through yesterday. And sometimes the best way for us to move forward today is to remember how God brought us from yesterday. What did he do before? If you're struggling right now, take some time and look back. What has God done in your life? How has he brought you to this moment? How did he bring you from there to here? Look back. What has he done already? I believe the greatest weakness of Christians is our memory. Because if we had better memories, we would never be afraid. We would never be stressed out. We would never be worried about anything. There would be none of that. If we always remembered, hey, the God that brought me here is going to keep me going. The God who brought me to this point is going to take me further. The God that brought me to the edge of the Jordan River is going to take me across. The God that got me to the middle is going to get me to the... I mean, all of this, they knew, and here's the stones to remind them. Your God is with you. He's always with you. We would never doubt. The biggest danger for God's people is forgetting who you are and whose you are. That's what happens. If we don't take a reminder, if we don't remember, we forget. We forget who we are in Christ. We forget that we are his people, that there are promises he's made to us. We forget that we belong to him, that he's our God and we are his people, that he won't fail us. So my encouragement, like I said last week, start gathering stones so that you can start stacking the stones. This week is all about stacking stones, building these memories and moments, turning them into monuments to serve as a sign for generations. The stones you're stacking today will tell a story for tomorrow. May everyone here, all of you guys, the stones that you are stacking up today will tell your story tomorrow. Hey, I can tell you all about this stone. I got it from the middle of some trouble I was in, and it's here on dry ground because God brought me through it. See this right here? This is another thing God did for our family. We pass those things on. We tell other people. It's our testimony. Stacking stones allows you to reflect. You can reflect on what God has done. It connects God to the moments of your life. Just taking some time to reflect. God is a part of this. God has brought me here. His hand is in my life. When you begin to reflect on what God has done, you live as a reflection of God. Because you're remembering, man, he's done this. Recognizing his hand on your life and his hand working in your life. Stacking stones will refresh you. It's refreshing. You remember God's goodness and his faithfulness and his love. When you remember God, it leads you to repentance, which leads to refreshing. It's this reminder. Rejoicing. Stacking stones allows you to rejoice. I was thinking about this song this week. It's an old one, so maybe you guys remember this. When I think about the Lord, anyone remember that? When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, How he healed me to the uttermost. I really expected you guys to sing along. I wasn't expecting a solo. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground. I mean, it made me think about this story. Then the next part, it says, it makes me want to shout. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all of the honor, and all the praise. And when we think about the Lord, when I think about God, it makes me want to rejoice. When I think about where he's brought me, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Hallelujah, because I can look at the stones that I brought with me. I can look at the stones I've stacked up. Rejoicing. Number four, stacking stones will allow you to rekindle that fire so that that fire burns again. Stacking stones rekindles that, lights the spark again. It allows us to refocus. When you remember where God has brought you and how he has directed you to this point, it helps to reveal the path ahead of you. I know where he's brought me. Now I have an idea of where he's taking me. It allows you to refocus. It allows you to rest. Man, if any of you are not resting well, if anyone here, if you're not resting, when you remember that God is in control, you can lay your head down at night and rest. It's stacking those stones. Say, look at some stones. Remind yourself before you go to sleep at night. I mean, don't just watch. Carrie and I like to watch crime shows. Don't go to bed after a crime show. It's nightmares. Every noise. Whoa, is an axe murderer in the house? But before you go to bed, think about some of these stones you've stacked. Before you go to sleep, hey, I remember when God did this. I'm not going to go to bed worried tonight. I'm going to get some good rest. The seventh and final thing that stacking stones allows us to do is to recharge. It recharges us. I believe so many of you have been walking around for weeks, maybe months, and the low battery 10% has been on. You know, when you see that, that's the dreaded thing you see on your phone. I saw the 20% on my phone earlier because the power bank was dead. Low battery, 20% left. Oh my gosh. You know, when you get down to 10 or you look and there's it, once you hit 10, it's just dropping like crazy. Anyone else's phone like that? I believe so many people are living in this season and the battery's low and they need to recharge and you're running around. Where can I plug in? Where can I plug in? How am I going to recharge? It's all about the stones. It's all about the memories. It's all about the testimonies. It's all about what God has done to this point. When you look at those, you're recharged. When you look at those, you're empowered again. I would encourage everyone here, everyone watching, look at the stones that you're stacking. Remember what God has done. Remember the things you've brought with you. It's how you get ready for action again. You know, there's two reasons to gather stones. Two reasons. We'll talk about the second one next week. The first reason to gather stones is for building. So this week we're building. We're building the monument, building the memorial, building the thing like Joshua built so we see and we remember. The second reason you gather stones is for battle. We're going to look at that next week. But Joshua, the first thing they did when they crossed over is stack the stones. 4 days later, they celebrated the Passover. I mean, the whole Passover celebration is remembering what God did to rescue them and bring them out of Egypt. So they stacked the stones as a remembrance. Then they celebrated Passover and remembered God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And then after that, they went on to have one of the greatest victories recorded in the entire Bible. After this moment, they stopped and took time to remember first, and it recharged them and made them ready for battle. So I want to encourage you, remember what God has done for you. Remember what God has done. The greatest victory in your life is just ahead. Do you guys believe that? The greatest victory in your life is just ahead of you. The greatest thing, you haven't even seen anything compared to what's coming next. It's ahead of us. It's right ahead. When you remember what God has already done for you, you'll be confident that everything's going to be okay. Amen? All right, let me pray for you guys. This week, everyone here, this is the challenge. for being here. This is the cost of admission. Tell someone your story this week. This week, tell someone. Tell someone. Share one of the stones. Just one of them. Hey, look at this. This is what God did in my life. Do you know where I brought this? It was from the middle of this trouble I was in. I've had it stacked here because it reminds me every day, my God is faithful. My God is with me. My God is going to bring me through this. My God has never left me. He's always brought me through. Father, I'm so thankful for your words today that encourage, that bring life. Lord, your words that bring fresh air into us again. Lord, I pray for everyone that's a part of this service. Lord, wherever they are in the stages of this crazy year, wherever they are in the stages of grief and loss in this emotional roller coaster that is 2020, Lord, I pray that right now you would reach into their life and touch them, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would spark a memory in their mind of the last time you rescued them, the last time you saved them. Lord, I pray that you would bring their attention to some of the stones that they have stacked up. Lord, they may not even realize they brought it with them, but there is this testimony there, Lord, and remind them of it. Let them see that again so they know, you know what? Now that I've seen this, I know everything is going to be okay. Now that I see this again, now that I remember, wow, I'm refreshed. I can rejoice. I'm refocused. I'm recharged. I'm ready to move ahead. And I believe that the greatest victory in my life is still laying ahead of me. Lord, I pray that you would make that be so for everyone in this room right now, Lord. I pray that over them, Lord, that their greatest victory is ahead. Lord, everyone watching at home, give them that confidence, Lord. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay because we are your children. And you are our God, and you have never failed us. You are faithful. You are good, Lord. And as we look at those stones again this week, we will rejoice. We will sing hallelujah, Lord. I pray that every home is filled with rejoicing. Every home is filled with praise, Lord, that this week worship would be heard from the city of Madon all the way into the heavens because people are praising you for everything you have done and believing in what you will do. Bless us today, Lord. In the mighty, powerful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right. Man, I'm excited. I'm ready. I think last week I said I'm ready to jump into a river. I feel it again this week. I'm ready.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.